Thank you. Thank you for our gathering this morning. But above all, we thank you for your great presence among us, Lord, the moving of the Spirit that bring confidence, that bring love, that bring peace, that tranquilize, Lord, our very soul and our bodies. We thank you for our gathering today to hear the words of life. I believe you will supply our needs, and you will give us our daily bread spiritually. Bless your people, and bless the words that will be spoken today and throughout the meetings. Pray that you will bless and undertake for every need, naturally, spiritually, healing up the soul and healing up the body. Pray that you will encourage every heart, that when we have come to the end, we will say, didn't our hearts burden as he spake to us on the way. Bless Brother Kenny here, Brother Renner, and the rest of the ministers, Lord, as they continue to be obedient to your word and the leadership of the Spirit. Touch Brother Kenny in a special way with all that are afflicted in this congregation. Bless Brother Renner, bless the ministers. Anoint them even greater. With your Spirit, fill their hearts and fill them out with the words of life. Bless the musicians, bless the deacons, even the janitor. Lord, the doorkeepers, and bless your children abundantly. Solve all your problems and meet every need and lift every burden. For this purpose we are gathered, to give you the praises and the honor and the glory. Lord, we pray that you would come in our midst throughout the entire week and bless us with manifold blessings. Thank you for the beautiful songs of Zion. Thank you for the ram horn this morning. Lord, sound forth, Lord, the Exodus in the great day when Israel was coming out of Egypt land. We pray that it will sound forth, Lord, our Exodus to the rapture and leaving this earth. Bless your children today and bless the words that will be spoken. For we pray and ask this blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his honor and glory, and the congregation say, amen. Amen. Lift your hands to him. Give him a praise offering. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you the praises, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, we give you the thanks. We magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. We magnify your name. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Commit all of our cares into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. I feel to hear that ram horn just one more time. Can we do that again, Brother Timmy? Amen. It is so wonderful. is so wonderful, brethren. So you may be seated this morning. Certainly happy to be with you one more time. To look upon your faces and to preach unto you the unsearchable riches of Christ. We feel the mighty presence of the Lord. And it is hard to speak when he comes in such power of his anointing. And when we have the presence of the Lord in our midst, we know that there is liberty. We know that people had been correcting their lives, making themselves ready for this meeting. We know that people are believing God's promise, looking with anticipation for the soon outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it gives me confidence. Yes, it helps me to understand that the people of God are pressing the battle towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. We are here to encourage your hearts, and we trust that we can be a blessing in some way by preaching the word of God unto you and by our fellowship. So we bring greetings from the Caribbean and South America. So all send their love to you from Bethel. The ministers, each one of them send their love to you, the brethren. Those from Grenada send their love to you over in St. Vincent, where you're contending for the same promise. And over in Guyana, they have also sent their love and their greetings to you here in Connecticut. But then we have an extension, which we never had for many years, and that is now I must bring greeting to you from India, and from Africa, and from the Philippines, and from Europe. All pressing to the mark of the high calling, and sharing the same vision that we shared for many years. And that is, they are expecting another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They are expecting another revival. And they are expecting the seven thunders to be broken to the public. Now that is a lot. I believe that your pastor, the great man of God, Brother Lambert, he would have liked to hear this greeting today. That we are bringing greetings from India and Africa, the Philippines, yes, and a part of Europe. I believe that it will bless his heart so much to know what has happened in the past few years. And that is the division that he passed on to us, he is now passed on to many others around the world. Something that we never expected, something that we never dreamt about, something that we never planned, but it just happened. I believe it happened just, you know, in God's own time. By his grace, yes, I want to thank Brother Kenny, the other ministers, and my brothers and sisters here for such a hearty welcome. As Wednesday, and on behalf of the saints, we thank you very much for such expression of love. And want to thank the minister here, especially Brother Kenny, as the pastor of this flock, for his dedication to the church and dedication to the service of the Lord. I see the devil fought him very hard, but with all of that, Brother Kenny kept pressing the battle. I believe that he's a wonderful example to this flock. Yeah, and we should follow in his footsteps as far as the world is concerned and their suffering, you know, suffering affliction. So we are grateful to the Lord for such a man of God as Brother Kenny. I believe that this is not a put on, no, something formal. I believe the Lord has truly raised up a genuine pastor to this congregation. And when I turn this congregation over to him, I don't know how long, 2 or 3 years, yes, I made no mistake. I believe that it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if I have a body that is a pastor, I have one here in Connecticut who worked with me in harmony, and his heart is set for the sake of the gospel and for the defense of the gospel. Yes, your money is well spent. I want to assure you that. And this man is not after the tithes and the offering, nor any one of the ministers. Brother Renner as his assistant here, and the other ministers, they are after your souls. And I'm grateful to have men here who are standing with such dedication, such love and such faith in their hearts for the message of the hour. I believe that out of thankfulness we should be obedient. Yes, be obedient to the instructions, because the seek our souls. So, I want to highly compliment Brother Kenny for the work that he has done here amongst the congregation, amongst the people. I believe he has done so well. Yes, and he's always in contact with me. Yes, and I am thankful for that, because I share the same concern for this congregation. I believe that Brother Branham, Brother Lambert, Brother George, Brother Muggy, I believe that they can peep over the banister this morning and see our gathering and the efforts that we have put behind the promise of God and the revelation that we left behind. I believe that they will rejoice. Yes, I believe they will rejoice greatly. So we will have a meeting today, and then our meetings continue at 7 o'clock each night. And then we will have meetings here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we could have another session like this after a while before we go back home. So we want to drift with the Spirit. We want the Lord to have His way. And I have on mind a prayer line. Sometime at the end of this session or the next session, as long as we feel the faith of the people rising, then we will let the Lord have His way. So those of you who think that you need healing for your bodies, it does not matter what kind of a sickness it is. There is no incurable disease with God. So I want to encourage you to believe the Lord with all your heart and pray this way: Lord, grant me the faith to believe for my healing. You know, it takes the Lord to put that faith down in your heart. You cannot work it up. And then when He puts that there, there is something going to come to you and help you to understand that I will be healed. That's it. I am going to be healed. I don't care what the doctor say or anybody say, I am going to be healed. Now, when that happens to you, God has revealed faith to you. And then come right up and be prayed for and forget the whole thing. So may the Lord bless your hearts this morning. We are more than happy, more than thankful, more than grateful to the Lord for each one of you and to be gathered together to worship and to praise the Lord and talk about His wonderful grace. So I would read a scripture this morning, if you stand, Romans 4. Romans 4, and this scripture here is speaking about Abraham. Let us take the 16th verse. And it is speaking of Abraham after a while. Romans 4, 16. Therefore it is a feat that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now this is the part that I want to get to. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That is beyond any kind of sickness. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. 90 years of age. When he was about 100 years, 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. 90 years was another time. The deadness of Sarah's womb. This is my message this morning. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. My Lord, a man 100 years of age, his body dead, and Sarah's womb dead, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but every day and every night he gave glory to God. And his faith became stronger every day. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And may be seated, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. I love this story. Even the natural report that Brother Paul is giving here concerning Abraham, that he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Yes. And we also have a promise. And we are also the seed of Abraham. And I believe that we would have that kind of faith. To believe for the promise of God. The promises, all the promises of God. But there is a major promise that was promised to us, and that is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And by that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it would bring to pass all the other promises that was promised to us in the Bible and by the message of the hour. So the title of my message this morning is that we stagger not at the promise of God. Yes, we stagger not at the promise of God. This is that promise, when it is fulfilled, will bring to pass all other promises. So we stagger not at the promise of God. It was written that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. We are going to examine others in our age who staggered not at the promise of God. And I could have entitled this message this morning, you know, Branham staggered not at the promise of God. Yes, but we wanted to be included there. So we say we stagger not at the promise of God. And that includes Branham. That includes Abraham. That includes Brother George. That includes Brother Muggy. And above all, that includes Brother Lambert. Yes, your pastor who sealed his testimony with his blood. So Lambert staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Yes. And he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he promised. So we are fully persuaded this morning that God is able to perform what he has promised. Because in the scripture, the Bible said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Always bear in mind, when the enemy wants to depress you and suppress you and bring doubts and fear in your minds concerning the time that we are waiting for this promise, we have already passed the time that Abraham waited. Bear in mind one thing, just like Brother Paul said, the long suffering of the Lord. That while the Lord keeps back this promise from us, he has his mind upon somebody, somewhere, to bring them to repentance. And if he sends this promise too quick, then he takes away that opportunity from that person to repent and to save them. Always remember that the Lord is looking down, brothers and sisters, and he sees the whole world. You could imagine that. He sees every animal, every bird, every fish in the sea, every human being. He listens to every one of our thoughts. He knows better than me, and he knows better than you. Yes, and if in his great wisdom he wants to hold back the promise until that certain child is born, because that child is elected, then we say, Lord, have your way. Think, brethren, that right in our midst, that we have our children at a certain age that have no revelation, they are not yet born again, and if that promise is to come today and the rapture take place, without a divine revelation, they will go through the tribulation. Which will you prefer? I will prefer to wait a little more. I am saying that I will prefer to wait a little more on the promise of God until the will of the Lord is fulfilled in those children's lives. It's a horrible thing to know that you are gone in the rapture, and your little one out here is left to go through the tribulation. Give that a little thought sometime, and maybe we can speak a little bit about it. Beloved, I was thinking on some of those things, and I see the grace of God and the love of God. Yes, sir. And I see the long suffering of the Lord.
his patience extended for years. Do you know that back there 30 years ago, if the Lord had not long-suffering, that some of you wouldn't be here seated today? But it's the long-suffering of the Lord that caused you to come and hear the Word of God and understand and cause your children to grow up today where they themselves have children. It is the long-suffering of the Lord. So look around and see the long-suffering of the Lord right in our midst. Yes, and then think that think of the long-suffering of the Lord that is still waiting. As the Bible said, and when then the long-suffering of the Lord waited in the days of Noah. Yes, 120 years. Yes, hoping that somebody will repent. And the Lord is holding back this promise for many reasons. And I believe that all of his reasons are good. They are good towards humanity. Some child that is just 5 years old. Some child that is just 7 years old. Some child over here. Some old man that is on a dying bed. Yes, and somebody could lead him to the Lord. Think on those things and you will understand, you know, the long suffering of the Lord and why this promise, you know, has not yet come to us. But yet, we stagger not at the promise of God. Yes, we don't stagger at the promise of God, but we are strong in faith. Yes, some of you were young, now you're old. Yes, some of you were just children, now you are adults. Yes, it's the grace of the Lord. Some of you had not yet come in when the man of God was here. Yes, now you are here. You understand. So we have to thank God for that. And we have to understand, you know, the time of waiting in that respect. So we stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Yes, we do not stagger at the promise of God because of the time, the years that are past. No, we are here. We are waiting. We are watching. Every day, every year, we are looking forward. Yes, sometimes our faith rises, sometimes it goes down. But we are going on with the Lord. So, we stagger not at the promise of God through troubles. We stagger not at the promise of God through sicknesses. We stagger not at the promise of God through debt. We have buried a couple of pastors. Yes, we have buried wonderful brothers who contended for the faith. Yes, who was young and grew old. And that does not disturb the church of God. We stagger not at the promise of God to unbelief. We imagine on. If it don't come today, it will come tomorrow. If it don't come tomorrow, it will come next month. If it don't come next month, it will come next year. So we press the battle and we go on. Now that's the vision, that's the faith that each one of us must have. Yes, as we press the battle. Never let time cause you to stagger. Don't let troubles cause you to stagger. Make you think that you would not get that promise. Never let sickness cause you to stagger. Never let somebody in the church dying cause you to stagger at the promise of God. Promise of healing. Promise of salvation. Never let the backsliding of somebody cause you to stagger. And make you think as a young man, a young woman, yes, that I will be the next one. I would be the next one. I will follow it. No, that is staggering at the promise of God. Consider Abraham, 100 years old, and his body dead. Consider Sarah and the deadness of her womb. And the Bible said that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Not only did not stagger, but he was strong in faith. Not only strong in faith, but he jumped up every morning and started praising God. Giving glory to God that he will have this promise that God made Grandpa is going to have a baby. Grandma, with the deadness of a womb, is going to bear a child. Yes. How would she go through them labor pains? I don't know, but God said so. Yes. And he was giving glory to God every day, every night. He built the crib, and he was ready for the baby. Oh, yes. Sarah got all their baby clothes, and it was around there. And brothers and sisters, he was giving glory to God. I guess he take up the booties sometimes and, you know, take up the diapers and, you know, giving glory to God and swinging them around. Oh, yes. Thanking God. Now, that is faith. Now, what is your sickness compared to that? Nothing. I'm saying that your sickness is, if you compare that, is nothing in comparison to the condition of Abraham and the condition of Sarah, believing that they were bring forth this child called Isaac. Now today, that child and that promise that they were looking for equals to our promise. Yes, the birth of Christ through the bride in the end time. The Bible said, Brother Paul said, I travail in pain again until Christ be formed in you. So now that promise, child called Isaac, is a type of the promise that is made to us when the church will manifest Christ one more time here before the rapture take place. Now there is a people today, this is not something foreign, there is a people today that is looking for that same promise of God. Yes, and they are looking for that promise of God longer than Abraham. Longer than Sarah. Now we are past those years of Abraham. And we are looking for that promise of God. We have our little trials. We have our little problems. We have our ups. We have our downs. We have our sicknesses. Yes. We have our demonic battles. We have sometimes oppressions. Yes, we have depression sometimes. Everybody is not strong. Somebody's weak. Yes, sir. But the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yes, and Abraham was strong in faith. Yes, giving glory to God. I could picture Abraham. I don't want to dramatize too much, but I want to get this point over to you. To help you to understand, brethren, that there were people just like us. Abraham was an ordinary man like me and you. Sarah was an ordinary woman just like any one of the sisters here. She had a problem, you know. Yeah, she laughed in unbelief in the back of the tent, and she lied. She had a problem, so. Don't you think that Abraham just lived 100 years without getting a headache? You got to read the Bible as it is. Don't you think that he did not lay down in bed with a fever? Yes, and some kind of a sickness? Don't you think that he did not have aches and pains and suffer a little arthritis at that age? Huh? Don't you think that at that age that his heart was just pumping, you know, like a 16-year-old fella? No, he had problems. He had sickness. He had problems. He had to correct Sarah around the house. He had to settle the disputes between the herdsmen of Lot and his herdsmen. There was a normal people. Yes, but, you know, the difference with Abraham and other men is that he was looking for a promise without any unbelief. He just knew that that promise will come. God will send that promise in time, and then he will be a blessing to the entire world. So he was an ordinary man. Sarah was an ordinary lady. And they was before, you know, living in another area of the world, and in that area they worship the moon and the sun. Moon worshippers. The Lord called him out of idolatry. Yes. Called him out of his heathen religion. Now that is where the Lord sought us and brought us from. Yes. And then he caused us to hear about a promise. Beloved, we believe that promise. And we are waiting for that promise.
And we are not staggering up that promise. It doesn't matter how many decades pass by. It don't matter who dies. It don't matter who gets sick. It doesn't matter who doubts. It doesn't matter who backslides. We are not staggering at that promise of God. But we are stronger in faith today. I'm telling you, we are stronger in faith today. And that's giving glory to God. Oh, we are stronger in faith today, I believe, that we have grown considerably in the Word of God. We have grown in the grace of God. We have grown in faith. Yes, the things that we never understood before, we understand them today. The revelation that we never had before, we have them today. So, we are stronger in faith, giving glory to God. Because if we are the seeds of the seed of Abraham, then we must act like Abraham. Yes, and we have passed a time of waiting that Abraham and Sarah waited. Yes, but we are sure that that promise is going to come to pass. I don't know if anybody in our midst here today, and those that are in the Caribbean, Bethel, Guyana, that have in their hearts, you say, well, I don't believe that the promise will come. I don't know if anybody, in here that thinks that the promise would not come. Beloved, the promise will be here. Yes. And people may have the ups and have their downs, but the fact is that they believe that that promise is going to come. Yes. And that goes for the individual. It does not matter what happens in your life. No matter what is your up, what is your down, what is your problem, what is the sin that so easily beset you, take that courage in your heart. Look there, but I believe the promise. I believe it is going to be here. I believe it. It is going to come to pass. Yes, and the Lord is looking down at that faith. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Well, look at the great compliment that Paul gave to Abraham. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But I could find in the scripture there where he went and took Hagar and brought forth an Ishmael trying to fulfill a promise. But even in that, my brothers and sisters, he was applying faith. Yes, he said, well, if Sarah cannot bring forth this child, well, Hagar might be able to bring it forth. He was exercising faith, he was doing some kind of a work, but he was doing the wrong thing. Yes, sir. Now, I believe that each one of us, we have our ups, we have our downs. But then look down into your heart and take courage that down in my heart, I believe that promise. I believe it 30 years ago, I still believe it. I believe it 20 years ago, I still believe it. I believe 10 years ago, I still believe it. I believe it today like I believe it yesterday. And that's the important thing that you've got to look at. Yes, and the Lord will take care of the rest. Press the Bible, try to overcome, try to draw closer to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of the rest. How many say amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. Yes, sir. And now the grace that brought you to this point here, 2005. Friend, you had been looking for the promise of God since 1967. Yes. Before your children and grandchildren were born. 1967. That's a lot of years. That is almost 40 years, about 38 years, if I check correctly. Beloved, and we have passed the 25 years of Abraham. I believe that the Lord, through His grace, will take us on. Yes, I believe that the grace that brought us safe thus far, that same grace will take us on. Yes, never mind your troubles, never mind your sicknesses, never mind your depression, never mind your oppression. Yes, as long as you believe down in your heart, that promise will come. and it is for me. It is for my wife, it is for my children. Lord, I'm in such a miserable condition. I don't know how you are going to give me that promise, but I believe the promise is for me. Now, that's for the individual. It doesn't matter how low you become. Yes, and you see the grave before you. Continue to believe. Yes, Lord, I believe it is for me. Yeah, sometimes Satan dig a hole and take your head and put you down there. Yeah, he said, I will put you 6 feet down there. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Trust in the Lord. Yeah, so what happened if you die? If you die, you die. Yes. Abraham died. And brothers and sisters, the promise was passed on to his son. And that next fellow died. And the promise was passed on to his son. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. And the promise was made to them. And later on, the promise was fulfilled under Joshua, where they did get that land. Yes. So, we believe with all our hearts. We believe with all our souls. Yes, sir. So, we had today a man like Abraham. Yes. Called Branham. Now, we have a living example. We don't have to go back to the scripture there to see how Abraham acted. We had a tremendous example in the man called Branham. And I could say of this great man, Branham, which is a type of Abraham, that Branham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, it's a disgrace today to know that the followers of Malachi 4 throughout the world, soon after Brother Branham died, that they staggered at the promise of God through unbelief. Yes, sir. You know, Sarah one time staggered when the angel came down and he starts speaking about, it's about time that you have that child, Abraham, you know, believed, but then Sarah smiled. And she said, me, an old woman? Yes. Now, she doubted, but Abraham believed. Yes. So, I believe if something like that is happening since the time, you know, of the message that was brought to us by Brother Branham. So, Branham staggered not at the promise of God. And we look for the same promise like Brother Branham. Now, don't you ever get into your minds, children, who have been hearing about this great outpouring and the revival to come. Don't you ever get into your mind that that's the idea of Brother Kenny or the idea of the minister here, and I have to check this thing out. Don't you ever get into your mind that that's the idea of Brother Bruce? Yeah, I think Brother Bruce had that idea, and he passed this idea down to Brother Kenny and the other ministers, and they really believed Brother Bruce. No, friend, this thing traced back further than that. And don't you ever think that the principles and the policies that are set in the house of God here was hatched up overnight by Brother Kenny and Brother Bruce. No, sir. This thing, my brother, has foundation. It has foundation in the scripture. It has a foundation in the message of the hour. Oh, don't you ever start. Now, anytime you start thinking like that, you will doubt. Yes, you will doubt. You will fear. But if you go back to see where, you know, this the foundation is, I think that you will be better off. So, here we are. The first thing, the foundation is in the Bible. These promises are laying there for thousands of years. Yes, I'm telling you. The promise of the rapture is laying there, friend, for 2,000 years. Yes, sir. The promise of Christ coming into the bride to be glorified in the saints is laying there for 2,000 years. Yes, and we can trace back this promise of God way back to Abraham. Yes, through grace. And come right up through the Old Testament, and then come right down to the New Testament here. And we are those people who are gifted of God, who found the grace of God, friends, to receive this promise. Now, I believe that we ought to appreciate our privilege. I believe we ought to appreciate the grace that God has given to us. I believe we ought to appreciate, friends, all the labors of God's servants right up to the time of Jesus and way back into the Old Testament. Yes, we are entering into a harvest. Yes, sir. One planted and another reaped, the Bible said. And we should be grateful to the Lord. More than grateful to the Lord to see our promise, to see what we are entering into. Yes, and never let your spirit get damp. Yes, never let your spirit become doubtful because of the length of time. You have been hearing that from a little fella, that great outpouring is going to come, that token is going to come. Yes, and you could grow accustomed hearing that. Yes, sir. You could grow accustomed, and you begin to think that, my, I'm hearing that since I'm a little fellow, but it will be here. It is going to be here. You see, it's not I that make that promise. No, Brother Kenny make that promise. No, any other person make that promise. It's God that made the promise. Yes, and what God promised, He's able to perform, the Bible says. There shall be a performance of the great promise that God made. Yes, sir. I believe that with all my heart. Yeah, there shall be a performance of those things. One of those people that was prophesying is either Elizabeth or Zechariah. And those words came out there, and there shall be a performance of those things. Because God promised it. Look how long God had promised that there will be a Messiah born. A virgin shall bring forth a child. Friend, that was 800 years before Jesus was born. Yes. 800 years. You know many people must have called Isaiah a false prophet? Yes. But 800 years after. Yeah, how many people believed that? God's children believed right through. Until it was performed. There shall be a performance of those things. Look at that little girl, that lady, blind Anna, lost her husband when she was a young lady. And I think it was said that 80 years she was in that temple. And it was revealed to her that she would see the Messiah. Yes, even like Simeon. Yes, and they did see the Messiah come in. How many years you are waiting? I don't check time, friend. Now, why do we check time? Why do we sit down and check time? We don't sit down and check time. Yes, we look at God's promise. The fact is that He will bring that promise in time. Yes, there shall be a performance of those things. So this is not something that was hatched up by the man called Lambert. No, sir. This went further than that. And there was a man before Lambert that was keeping a vision, yes, sir, of that promise. Yes, and in this age, this that you had been hearing about the promise of God and all the other promises of God, they are anchored in the Bible and anchored in the message of William Branham. Yes, sir, it is going to come to pass. Now, the essence of Brother Branham's message, the complete essence of Brother Branham's message was likened unto Moses. Moses was sent to lead the people of God to a promised land. That promised land is a type of another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the message of Brother Branham had a promise in it, and a great promise. And people don't understand that. People say that they are following the message.
Here you ask them, what is the message?
Well, they think that the message is water baptism and a woman should not preach and, you know, all those other fundamental things. No, but the essence of the message of Brother Branham was another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't you ever deviate from that, friends. That the promise in Brother Branham's message was another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's where the whole thing is anchored. And we can prove that by many quotations, many places in the scripture, and we have already proven that to the world through 12 books, EODH. Yes, and people have already catch on to it. They believe that. A major book to prove the promises of God is EODH Book 7. But just to brief you a little bit, the highlight message of Brother Branham was called the token. Yes, the token. And Brother Branham said on the book called Desperation that the highlight of his ministry was all wrapped up in that message called the token. Yes. He went on. Friends, and the Lord took his pen and wrote a prophecy. And that prophecy says that there will be a super church and a super race. It also said that as we near the headstone, there will be that super race and super church. Then Brother Branham, he knew very well that there will be a super church by the headstone, and the prophet of God tied in the headstone with the seven thunders. Yes, sir. So he said that the headstone will bring again, the seven thunders will bring again the headstone. The prophet of God contended for the church to go back to Pentecost. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he contended that they should go back to Pentecost. One quotation, Brother Branham said that we are million miles away from what they had on the day of Pentecost. Imagine something like that. All those quotations can be found on EODH Book 7. Yes, dozens of quotations. Prophet of God went on to say, and this gospel shall be preached as a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. He says that preaching of the gospel is not in word only, but it must come in power. I believe that. Right. Now the prophet of God highlighted his speak the word ministry. Yes, where missing limbs and arms will be created. Yes, sir. I believe that. The prophet of God looked for these promises until he passed on to glory. Brother Branham going on to glory does not change the promise of God because Brother Branham never made the promise. He never made the promise. No. Now in all of Brother Branham's ministry, if you notice, that Brother Branham staggered not at the promise of God. He never staggered at the first pull, never staggered at the second pull, and he never staggered at the third pull, which is the speak the word ministry. He went on confessing faith in whatever the Lord told him, and Brother Branham went down in faith believing with all that he preached. Now, understand, friend, that when that man came up here to the east called Brother Lambert, traveling from the south, yes, sir, proclaiming the promise of God. When he established the promise of God to you, it was not his thoughts. It was not his idea. It was not what he, brothers and sisters, hatched up somewhere. That man found that promise of God in a message of William Branham. Yes, sir. So his departure, his death, has nothing to do with the promise of God. Yes, a sudden,
as Brother Branham passed on, and the promise of God is still going to come, when the death of God's servant, Brother Lambert, has nothing to do with this promise of God. It is going to come to pass. Now, the death of any one of our ministers today that is preaching the word of God has nothing to do with it. The promise of God is going to come to pass. And you've got to believe it that way. How, when, I don't know, but it's going to come to pass. We should not stagger at the promise of God. We should not let our weaknesses, we should not let sin, we should not let backsliding of others, we should not let the battles around the world that rages against this promise of God stop us in any way. We are pressing the battle. We are going forward. Yes, in faith believing. So if we, you know, was living in Bible days and we have to write like Brother Paul, then I would like to put in this verse here, and Branham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Yeah, I tell you, if it was the days and the writing of the Bible, that will go in there. Yes. And Brother Branham will be just like Abraham. Yes. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God for all the promises that God gave to him. Now, if you study the message of Brother Branham, he never let up nowhere. Study the message. Brother Branham never let up nowhere and said, well, I'm not sure about this, and I don't think that this may come to pass. It may come to pass. I'm not sure. No, friend. Brother Branham speak positively. Yes, in the affirmative, concerning the promise of God, concerning the speak the word power, concerning the reaping of the harvest. Concerning, friends, all the promises of God, down to his healing of his body. Now, in all this faith that the prophet of God had, when he was a human being, he had his little problems. Yes, he had his little sicknesses. You know, Brother Branham suffered with a certain sickness of his stomach that lasted for years until the time of his death. Then he proclaimed that the Lord healed him just a matter of 1 month before. For years upon years. Now, that did not trouble the faith of Brother Branham. That did not cause Brother Branham to stagger at the promise of God. Show me anywhere where Brother Branham said that there may not be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In all his preaching, oh, there may not be another revival. No, he was not guessing around. Or maybe the Lord would not heal me. He staggered not at the promise of God. Show one place where Brother Branham said, I don't think that there will be a bride because of all the sins that is in the world today. And because of the unbelief of the people, I don't think there will be a bride. I don't think there will be a rapture. No, he was strong in faith. Yes. Show me one place where Brother Branham said that there won't be a super church. Or the headstone would not come. Beloved, it doesn't matter how much Sarah doubted the promise. Abraham was believing today. Yes. He was believing today. He was giving glory to God. The prophet of God was a jolly man, you know. The prophet of God was a man of faith. The prophet of God, friend, he was a man of sacrifice. Going to a cave and remain there from his family for 3 days. Fast and pray. He was a man that knew how to stand against the world and all the persecutions. So I believe Brother Branham was greater than Abraham. Today, yes, right up here. Now, that is not an irresponsible statement. John the Baptist was greater than all the other prophets because he preached the kingdom. What about Brother Branham? Yes. So, Brother Branham never denied that promise of God. He was like Moses. Believed that promise of God regardless of what it was.
So now Brother Branham was a man of faith. He is the one that declared concerning an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that spoke about a super church. He is the one that spoke, friends, of the coming of the headstone.
Yes.
He is the one that proclaimed a revival. He never seen it, but it's going to be here. So now this is not something that was hatched up here in Connecticut, way up in the east out here, you know, by a man called Lambert. And after a while they killed Lambert, and there was a few people deceived up here in the east. No, friend, if we are deceived, Brother Branham was deceived. And Brother Branham was not deceived. He was like Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God. All that Brother Lambert done was to enter into that message, and he caught the inspiration, and he caught the vision of what Brother Branham was trying to produce, and he proclaimed it. Now, Brother Branham said in Stature of a Perfect Man, he said, I'm not here to build organizations this morning. He said, I'm here to build men and women into the stature of Jesus Christ, where they can become powerhouses for God. That is our mission up to today. Why am I up here? I'm trying to build powerhouses for God. Why have I left Trinidad, friends, and come to you again for maybe the 20th time? I don't know. Since 1979, why am I here again? I am interested in building, friends, men and women into the stature of Jesus Christ, where they can become powerhouses for God. My interest is to see each one of you receive what they received, my brother, by the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. Every young man, every young woman, I want to see the 9 diverse gifts in operation. I want to see a 5-4 ministry set in order. I want to see the dead raised. Yes, I want to see the crippled legs made straight. I want to see, my brother, mighty signs and wonders. I look at a picture in the room there just now, and I see Jesus walking in the water. Oh my, I say, Lord, that's what I want. And that is not hard to ask. Yes, somebody will walk in the waters, and I believe I will walk in the waters. Yes, sir. That infinitism, friend. The works that I do shall you also do, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He is so calm. Yes, and he's not lifting his foot too high to cross over the wave now. Now he's just walking calmly. Yes, sir, just like he's walking on the road. My, that inspired me. I said, Lord, that's what I want. Yes, and I cannot doubt it, my brothers and sisters. The Lord is able to cause you to do that. Don't doubt and tell me that you cannot walk in the waters because it may not be for you. The Lord promised that you could do greater than that. The works of Jesus Christ is he walked in the waters and he called Lazarus from the grave after 4 days. And those are only the works of Jesus Christ. But the greater works than that, my brothers and sisters, we are going to do it. So then walking in the waters is secondary. Yeah, secondary affair. Calling a man 4 days dead, you know, and rotten and stinking is a secondary matter, because that is the works of Jesus Christ, but we got to do the greater works. Yes, and the greater works, friends, speak the word ministry. Yes, speak the word ministry. I believe that with all my heart. So when doubts come up into your mind and you think that a man called Lambert, you know, has fooled somebody, friend, and he expected all these things, and he expected an outpouring, he expected a revival, he expected a headstone, and it never came, and then they killed the man, and they buried him, then the promises of God are buried. It's not so. Friends, these are the promises that were made by God to William Branham, the messenger of age. Yes, sir, and then a man, here Brother Branham preaching one day, and he says, somebody will catch this vision and take it on. Remember that quotation? He says, somebody somewhere will catch this vision and take it on. I am here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that your pastor caught that vision of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit
and a revival to come, and a headstone to come, and the tongue has broken into the public, and he has carried it on. I don't care what the world said, it was only one man that propagated the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a super church, my brother, for years, and that was a man called Robert Lee Lambert. Yes, sir, he caught the vision. Oh, my, it's glorious to think. Yes, sir. It's glorious to think, brother. Yes, sir. And Brother Branham was a type of Moses. And though he never entered into this great revival, Moses was forbidden to enter the land. Yes. Moses believed. Brother Branham believed with all his heart. But then, friends, there was a people that arose after the days of Moses. Yes, sir. They believed and entered the promised land. We had a type of this group in Caleb. And Caleb and Joshua said that we are more than able to take the land. Yes, we are going up to take the land. We are more than able to take that land. The prophet of God in spoken word is the original seed. In the words of the bride, Brother Branham said over there that Caleb types that little group that will believe the promise and stand up with Joshua the Holy Spirit. Friends, tell me who upon the face of the earth was proclaiming that promise and believing that promise and looking for that promise. I say humbly, only a handful of people out of the whole of the United States and the whole world, I will extend that to, that found grace in the sight of God to believe, my brother, the vision of Brother Branham. Yes, and contend for the promise even up to today. And you are that people. You are that people. You have found great grace in the sight of God. Yes, great grace. And you are still here. Yeah, you are still here. Some went to the grave. That's okay. But the promise will come. Huh? Some lost their hair, some get gray. But the promise is going to be here. How many say amen? We should rejoice about our promise. Yes, every day we should get up and give glory to God. Thanking him for this promise. It's not maybe coming to pass. It is going to come to pass. Yes, sir. It is going to come to pass. So there was a handful of people, friends, that got to start somewhere. If people don't believe that, that does not concern us. There had to be a people upon the face of the earth that catch the vision of Brother Branham. Yes. And our pastor here, I am not ashamed to call this man of God my pastor. He caught the vision of this promise. And he was a born revivalist. We send out a book called My Brother, the First Martyr, for the message of William Branham, yes, the revivalist Robert Lee Lambert. And we would not back up on that. Yes, sir. People read that book, Brother Renner, and I tell you the amount of letters I got. They say, when I read that, I didn't know what to do with myself. One fellow said, I laughed. I cried. I jumped. I praised God for this man's life. I haven't had one bad report from anyone that ever read that book. Not one report. You say, somebody said that I disagree with that, and I don't believe this testimony, or something like that. One man here, a clown, yes, always provoking the church, wrote a letter. He would not even put his name under it. He said there was only one bad part in that book. He says, and that is when you start speaking of those that rejected the message did wrong under the revelation, you know. So I wrote him back. I said, there was only one part in the Bible you're saying when the scribes put about Judas there.
Is that the only bad part in the gospel? When they wrote about Jesus and the biography of Jesus and his teachings and how he stood with the word of God, is that the only bad part? When they said also concerning Judas, how he betrayed the Lord. I said, these people that are in that book are betrayers and they are Judas. Yes, so we are right on time. Never wrote back since that. Yeah. Now you see people say things but they forget what is in the Bible. Yeah. The scribe over there, he put the good with the bad. And that is what we done. We put the good with the bad. All right, in the first matter. Oh, I thank God. Brothers and sisters, and that man of God proclaimed that promise. I'm coming to you just now. And Lambert staggered not at the promise of God. True unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. George Parella, my beloved, staggered not at the promise of God. That man was a hero. Yes, sir. You talk about a defiant man. One time something happened. I said, Brother George, aren't you afraid that somebody do you harm down there and kill you down in that bush there by Mallison? He said, the quicker the better. All patriarchs, he said, the quicker the better, brothers. I go into the presence of the Lord. Yes, sir. Now, those are the kinds of heroes that the Lord raised up in our time. My beloved, we could look here and see the Bible repeating itself. Yeah, great men repeating, great lives and great characters repeating themselves. Yes, sir. And here we are. This was Brother Branham's idea. Get that in your hearts, little children. You are not following something that Brother Lambert patched up and leave here with Brother Kenny. And then we don't know about it and we are not sure about it. I don't know if it will come to pass. This is Brother Branham's message. This is the promise made to God to William Branham. And he was a vindicated prophet. Yes, sir. There we are, children. So we are not guessing around. No, we are in this thing together. Yes, and we are pressing the battle. We still believe that that promise is going to come. We still believe in a revival to come. We still believe in a headstone to come. We still believe, friends, in all the promises of God. We still believe that there is going to be a rapture to take place. Alright, so if you have any kind of a fear or unbelief of what is going on here in Connecticut, and, I'm not sure if you believe this, get that out of your minds. Go back to Brother Branham's message. He is the one that advocates these things. And the token was his highlight message. Yes, the super church coming through the headstone and through the seven thunders, beloved, becomes something of great importance in the end time. At the end of his ministry, he leaves those things behind. Yes, and of his quotation says that somebody will catch this vision and take it on. Beloved, I have not heard of a man, nor seen a man, nor read of a man who took up the message called the token. And the coming revival, the coming headstone, and is highlighting that any part of the world outside of Lambert. I truly believe if there was another, I'll say this, if there was another. If there was another, we have not seen him in 30-something years. Now we believe the one that we heard. Yes. And he was not ashamed to publish him as the first martyr and the revivalist after Brother Branham. Yeah. This revivalist was looking forward for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Brother Branham was a revivalist in himself. Yes, sir. And this man caught that vision and started taking it. He was met with much opposition. Yes, sir. But brothers and sisters, everybody that read that book concerning this revivalist was impressed. Yeah, only one or two fools. Yes, try to combat that. And their mouths were shut. Yes, mouths were shut. And something great has happened. And now the first matter is translated into the Hindi language. And the Hindi language is the national language of India. That exposes the life story of Robert Lee Lambert to 1 billion people upon the face of the earth. I believe that that's a great thing. Also, EODH books are being translated. Some of them are completed. Just waiting to go into the press. Yes, to print that, waiting on some money that we could say, okay, publish and send it out through India. And it is going to meet a lot of people. They are just hungry for the Word of God. Yes, if America don't want it, somebody wants it around the world, brethren. And the prophet of God says that the Holy Spirit, you know, has flown away to overseas, to other countries, seeking souls. Yes, because America rejected the great prophet of God. But I still believe that there is one more revival that is going to start here in the Easter. As Brother Branham spoke about it, one more revival to take place, and he said that it is going to be in New England. How many heard that quotation of recent time? All right. So that revival will definitely start somewhere in New England. I believe with all my heart. Yes, and I'm hoping to be here for that. Yes, I'm hoping to be a partaker of that. Yes, that I could go back, my brothers and sisters, to my people, and wherever the Lord will send me, and say, this is that. That William Branham spoke about. Yes.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
This is that which William Branham had spoken about. This is that which George Powell has spoken about. This is that which Lambert spoke about. This is that which Kenny spoken about. Yeah. Yes, sir. And we must have the right adequate friend to go in the rapture. And that is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the fullness of God. So they persecuted this man. I truly believe that he caught that vision. Yes, he caught that vision of the promises of God. Now, tell me, friend, without that token, you cannot go in the rapture. Without that token, without that outpouring, there is no revival. Yes, without that token, you cannot have to speak the word ministry. It takes a super anointing to do it. Now, what is the matter with people? People sit down and waiting for the rapture, and counting this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit like something small. When everything in the end time and all the promises of God is tied up in another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Without that Holy Spirit in the end time, friend, the thunders cannot be broken to the public. No, you cannot have the bright revival. You cannot go in the rapture. The dead cannot come from the grave. So which is the important thing? Not the token? And wasn't that the highlight message of Brother Branham? Well, then we believe the highlight message. Tell me where we went wrong. Huh? We never went wrong. Right? We are on the straight and narrow way all the time. And we are going to go forward. We are pressing the battle. We are not going to stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. We believe this thing with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Never mind your sicknesses. Never mind your troubles, friend. Yes. And to think of the privilege that God had given to us and to me. Friend, one born out of due season to hear what you heard. I was not even supposed to hear that. Yes. But God had chosen you as little Caleb to follow the Holy Spirit in the end time, that caught that vision. Yes, sir. And God used this man. Yes, pick him up from way down in the south. and revealed this promise to him. After revealing that promise to him, friend, he suffered, he was persecuted. Yes, sir. People don't understand this. But when Brother Lambert came by and started to speak about a promise of God for the end time bride, it was pretty early for him. He started to speak about that before Brother Branham died. Study the first matter and you're going to see. God had already revealed to this man the things that he told Brother Branham. That there will be a revival, there will be an outpouring, and there will be a speak the word ministry. Yes. So this man was proclaiming that. And now after Brother Branham died, I will tell you what happened. Many people sat there and was only expecting the rapture to take place now. Yes, just that they was expecting. And they was expecting Brother Branham to come from the dead to take them away in this rapture. Now the time went on. That Brother Bob came against that resurrection doctrine. He came against their unbelief. And because they were saying that they have perfect faith, perfect love. Yes. They were saying they have perfect love, perfect faith, all ready for the rapture. Lambert is a false prophet. There will be no revival. There will be no token coming. There will be no outpouring. They already have everything. As one man, that revivalist friend, he stood up against all the message world. I believe that is complimentary. Yes, for me to say that Lambert staggered not at the promise of God to unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And believing that what God has promised, he was able to perform. Now if they stood like that, my brother, how should we stand? Shouldn't we say the same thing? That God is able to perform the things that he promised. I believe that with all my heart. You see, people don't understand these things, brother. They think that, you know, everybody around the message believed that there was an outpouring and there was a revival. Not so. The unbelief that Brother Bob had to face, friend, they considered him as a dog, as a false prophet. But that man stood in the face of all that unbelief and said that there is going to be an outpouring. There will be a revival. Nobody will believe him from the south. Beloved, and he was driven out of more than 70 houses, rented places and churches and everything, and he traveled and journeyed up to the east here. He has to find little Caleb. And he came up here and proclaimed that promise of God. And after proclaiming that promise of God, friend, you believed. Yes, sir, there shall be a performance of those things. Must be a performance of those things. There are no guessing up here, friend. This is what was promised to Brother Branham. You have not followed a bald-headed character, as he used to say. Yes, and just guessing around about something. You have followed a sure word of prophecy. Get this idea out of your head that Brother Bob said there will be a promise and I am not too sure or whatever if you have it. I don't think anybody has that here. My beloved, this promise belonged to Brother Branham. That God gave to him, it belonged to the church of God. Yes, sir. And this man was persecuted with that vision, but that man had a revelation of what is going to happen today. He was a firm believer in a speak the word ministry. Firm believer in a bright revival. Firm believer in another return of Pentecost. Firm believer in the fullness of God coming to the church. Yes, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Yes, he went down in martyrdom. Yes, believing with all his heart. Yes, to the last message that he preached. Yes, the last message he was still proclaiming that promise of God. Yes, fiery as ever. I'm not going to go to sleep and hear you, because I usually wake up people. Yes. Oh, yes. We ought to give glory to God for all the promises, my brother and sister. But the main thing is that there is going to be an outpouring, and in that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, everything will flow out. Everything will flow out. All what you were expecting, yes, sir, is going to flow up from that. Now, brethren, in my last notes here, I want to let you know how gracious God had been to other people. Now, this great vision was rejected in the United States from the east to the west. And a lot of people who rejected that now turn around and start preaching another outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not knowing what they're talking about. That is to save their congregation. Yes, sir. And something has happened. The Lord had been very gracious to some people in the Caribbean. And he caused that vision to be passed on. Yes. Amongst a handful of people in the Caribbean. That has grown now by leaps and bounds. When your pastor seen that, he said there is a powerful church in Trinidad. It was nowhere to be seen yet, but my brother, that powerful church arose after a while. Oh, beloved, God is gracious. Now, and the blessings of the Lord. The great blessings of the Lord that he has blessed the people with today is that God moved us to publish some exposition of damnable heresies. And in order to expose these heresies, we had to highlight the promise of God and the revival. This is that that started to circulate around the world because they provoked us into fighting. They start dumping all this garbage upon us, telling us this, telling us that, telling my brother, and we started a fight. And started to expose all these heresies that was around the world. My, I tell you, they have broken up, my brothers and sisters, from one corner of the earth to the next. From India to Africa to Philippines and throughout the world, there are very few heretics that was not exposed. They was ever sorry that they interfered with us. And this vision, my brother, of the promise of God that Brother Branham held, was highlighted in those books. The vision that was held by Brother Lambert was highlighted in that book. The vision that you uphold, my brother, and look for that promise was highlighted in that book. Yes. And it went forward. And I tell you, friends, now we have a great gathering of people, not gathered in one place, but gathered, you know, to support that vision. In India, in Africa, Philippines, and there are some that are contending for that right now in Germany. I'm talking about ministers. I'm talking about gallant ministers that support this financially. I'm talking about that revelation making people bold. We'll walk right in and say, who don't believe this, walk out. Yes, sir, I'm talking about boldness when they hear that revelation. And there are people that have written thousands of letters who get those books. Brother Kenny has a great lot that come down here. You had been hearing that. I never knew that there were so many letters coming here. A bunch of letters being written over here to Guyton. Yes. And a bunch of letters to Brother Watson. And a bunch of letters to Trinidad. We cannot finish reading the letters out. And most of these people are proclaiming that there is going to be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now what I'm trying to emphasize, friend, the vision that was in Brother Branham's heart, that he passed on to you, friend, and we had it in the little corner, and a little place in Trinidad has now gone out into the world. Something has happened, brethren. Yes, I believe that went out to prepare the people's heart. Yet that when this great outpouring comes, they say, yes, that's it, that's what we're looking for. I believe if that had not happened, the people would not know, you know, what is going on. And there will be like people in the book of Acts. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They say, we never even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. And yes, sir. Then Paul had to start all over and start talking about John the Baptist and then Jesus and the day of Pentecost. Not so? Now what this is doing, as Brother Kenny rightly said, you know, that we never expected and we never dreamt about it, we never thought about it, that something like this will happen, that the people will grasp that there is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And that there was another revival for the bride. So while these heresies are being exposed, the people caught on to something, and that is there is something genuine on the way. And that is going to come. And then, my brothers and sisters, the kind of letter, listen, the time will fail to tell you of the kind of confession, the dedication, the support, brethren, to that ministry that is on its way through their capstone that is going to come. Men have rose up, and they are defiant to them heresy, defiant to them heretics. Yes, and proclaiming that there is going to be an outpouring. There is going to be, you know, revival for the bride. Now, that never happened in the history of the message. But now it has gone out. Yes. Now it has gone out. They love the Lord with all their hearts. Yes, we have a gallant man who is heading, brothers and sisters, many of the ministers in India. Yes. He's a kingpin down there for me. Yes, sir. And he proclaimed that. He answered the questions. What he cannot answer, he sent to me. Yes. And he sent out the books from there. He print the books. The books are translated. There is definitely a hunger setting in. Somebody is being blessed somewhere. Yes, and I'm thankful to the Lord. I want you to know that Brother Kenny is in full support of EODH. My beloved, he has put his labors behind it, put his finance behind it, the church finance here. My beloved, and he's a blessing to us. Yes, we send out money to India, money to Africa. Some of them so dirt poor. I tell you, brother, your heart bleed when they tell you of their needs, sir. So let us continue to pray. Let us continue, brothers. But I am telling you that this vision that Brother Bob held and Brother Branham held has caught on. Yes, to many ministers around the world. Yes, and there shall be a performance of the things that God has promised. Give us a song, dear brother. Let us stand.
Oh, in the name of Jesus.